Oh, Friday the 13th. Get your hockey masks on, get your goalie masks, and get yourself a Samboni. Sam Batesh joining us here on Dave and Bruce Plus. We are streaming on both The Plus and We're Thinking Out Loud with Siciliano and Sam, and it's always great to see you, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Friday the 13th, a favorite for me. It was the first horror movie I saw. I'm sure I was too young. I think I was 8 when my uncle decided to show me that, Friday the 13th. And there's a great horror movie out right now called Dolly that will change you inside and out. And it's a good Friday the 13th of a Dolly.
I haven't even heard of this.
It's, we're talking about like terrifying dolls. You know how dolls are just scary.
Oh, anyway, yeah. This dolls are creepy. Yeah.
This is the ultimate creepy doll bit of all time.
There you go.
It's a good Dolly. There
you go. Take that, Child's Play. Take that, Chucky. Take that, Gruden. Anyways, it is really good to have you all here. Thank you so much. Like and subscribe on both channels, if you would, please.
Thank you.
And Sammy, you know, we see once again, you and I both live in a world of content in so many different ways, not just as producers, but consumers. And man, the NFL is king. What a week of free agency. And the headlines as they roll out, the attention that we pay on Twitter, the views on my channel have gone up this week. I'm sure you're feeling the same thing. More people tuning in to sports talk radio to talk about the moves that their teams are making. And the NFL's offseason does, I think, a brisker business than most any other sports in season. It really does.
So here's a really good indication of how important the NFL is. So LA's got their own team, the Rams. They made a nice move, certainly. The McDuffie move is very nicer than the Rams. But, you know, more of a trade, not necessarily free agency. But the bottom line is
Chargers
this week, true. On sports radio in Los Angeles, the Max Crosby story got massive play here at ESPN LA. And it's just incredible that in the midst of a Lakers win streak, where they are barely separated from everybody else in the Western Conference, you've got, are they better without LeBron? I mean, there's some good stories in LA right now.
Right.
And Max Crosby, who's not a Ram or a Charger, never was and wasn't going to be, is dominating headlines in Los Angeles. That's a big deal.
Well, let's not forget that if we're putting together the five most popular teams in Los Angeles, you better have the Raiders a part
Raiders
of that
are
conversation.
There. Yep.
That's still a Raiders town. You know, Oakland is still a Raiders town.
Yes.
So needless to say, you know, for someone who is pigeonholed into the Niner content creation business, I've done shows on Max Crosby too, and it's a fascinating dissection of what happened, choices made, timelines, what really, who was right, who was wronged. You know, I want to start with this. There is no bigger professional in the room right now than Max Crosby. He has handled this with a level of grace and professionalism that I don't know if I would have been able to after, you know.
Let's be clear. You wouldn't have.
Look at it this way. If I got a team insignia tattooed on my chest only to find out that, you know, they traded me for two first rounders, and even Raiders fans who love Max Crosby were like, okay. You know, and so I think Max had to deal with all that. He then goes to Baltimore, and as he told Diana Rossini, the minute he got to that facility, something was off. The situation was just weird. You know, they didn't have the Ravens marching band. They weren't popping black and purple confetti as he walked into the facility or anything like that. It was odd. There wasn't the social media tracking him from his car to the front door. It was weird instantly, which makes me think that this entire time, even though no rules were broken, the Ravens absolutely negotiated in bad faith here. I think they put a reservation on Max Crosby for two first round picks and all the PR headache that came with it to continue to make sure they had an answer at D end while they renegotiated and kept on negotiating with Hendrickson. And I just
let me get this clear, because it's actually an amazing tactic moving forward. But I want to follow what we're ultimately, I mean, you have an opinion, which I've heard out there as well. And I only want to get it straight entirely. So the tactic here and the philosophy would be, you can basically sign a player, make this deal to trade. Again, this is not free agency. This is a trade. So we're trading. Everyone knows, you've now told the media, and you know the media understands what the trade is for. So you've put out there, to take the temperature on what you're giving up and what you're getting in return. Meanwhile, you know, because this player has gone under surgery, I mean, every player will go under the microscope in regards to whether or not he's passing a physical, right? But in this case, you also know this is a player recovering. So you know you're going to have this window of time where you can look at it.
Based on this body part, based on where it is in its recovery timetable.
So I just want to follow. So what happens is you have a unique situation where you know you're going to have this physical, which can still nullify the deal. So that's giving you a window of time to be in limbo about the deal. And on top of it, it's a player who the physical is not a fait accompli because he is in recovery the way that Max Crosby is. So specifically, the Ravens are able to book this time where they know we've got Max, but we can also listen to what people think of this. I mean, that's ultimately the theory you're kind of throwing out there, correct? That they know they've got this in their back pocket if they need it, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, it's infuriating. I also like to give a tip of the cap to people when they discover something and do it for the first time. We use the term disruptor out there in the world, right? So this is not a new Ravens front office, but it's not the front office that we've always known from the Ravens, right? DaCosta is not a name that's out there as much as we knew. It was Newsom, correct?
This is an Ozzie Newsom.
We all knew that name. This is a little different. They've had a tremendous front office over the course of the entire decade, but this is only 5 years of the decade that's really under the DaCosta regime. So this is something that other teams now can look at as an option. This is actually a fascinating way to do business if, in fact, this is what went down.
It redefines what we call the legal tampering period.
Yes.
Because the asset and then the Raiders' plans that they made in terms of moving on from Max Crosby when they thought that that was indeed the mission. Would the Raiders have signed Quiddy Pay? Would the Raiders have gone ahead and continued to conduct business the same way had they thought Max Crosby were coming back into the room? I say no. I think that the Ravens, they tampered with the overall asset that is Max Crosby. If the Raiders were about to put him back on the market, they're not fetching two first rounders now. And I just think that there is a level of business. I think other GMs are going to let Eric DaCosta go to voicemail before they're going to run to pick up that phone to talk to him. I don't think this is a good brand of business that the NFL wants to see become standard operating procedure. It is redefined legal tampering because they tampered with plans of the Raiders. And now that Crosby's back in the room, I really think that Mark Davis is, this is where if you like Max Crosby, you're happy that Mark Davis is your owner because he doesn't want Max to go through this twice. He is really loyal to guys who have put on Raider uniforms. And I'm sure he tossed and turned over the initial transaction. And now that he's back in the room, he's going to be happy that he's back in the room. And I don't think he's going to go back now on the market. And for Crosby to come back in and say, this is the way the cookie crumbles, and I'm a Raider, and I want to be a Raider. He has handled it really well. I don't think the Raiders are going to turn around and continue to try to do business around Max Crosby. Even though the rumor is today the Chicago Bears are interested, they want to make a run. Yeah, but that's going to, I just hang over this right up till the NFL draft.
So let me look at one other piece that would have been even more interesting in regards to Trey Hendrickson. So we all find this fascinating. The reason everyone's quick to this is because the Ravens turned right around and essentially paid the same money that they would have for Max Crosby, a little less, and held on to their two draft picks, right? Ultimately. Hendrickson is now in the building with the Ravens, not Max Crosby. They have the two first-round draft picks that they ultimately had let go of, and they don't have to give that up to have a player like Trey Hendrickson. You know what would have been more fascinating? What if the Raiders, knowing that they had this deal and they had two draft picks, and they could sign Trey Hendrickson for less than they were going to sign Max Crosby for, what if the Raiders had gone out and acquired Trey Hendrickson before this deal came back off the books? How hilarious and interesting would that have been if the Raiders now had the number one draft pick overall, and instead of having two other first round draft picks to go out and do whatever they wanted with, they instead committed to Hendrickson and now had Crosby and Hendrickson and not the two first round draft picks. That's the only thing that would have made this more convoluted in my eyes, and frankly, a little more interesting even.
If that had happened, I don't think they're saying that he failed a physical. I think the whole failed to physical is a shield to duck behind to conduct the transaction and not look like a total crook about it.
That's true. And one other thing, Damon, I just want to throw this out there. So the way this story is so fascinating because of where breaking news comes from and how fast and quickly we as a public or we as a quote media get the information. Will this change that process forever? Follow me on this. We know the news before Max Crosby has or passes his physical, whatever you want to say, right? In other words, the date we get the news, Max Crosby now still has to go to Baltimore and take a physical. We have the news before that is done. Does this change forever how the news comes out? In other words, Matt, is this deal done officially for people like me and you to know it before or after Max Crosby passes a physical? What's the point in me and you knowing this information before that goes down?
Well, again, what's the point of allowing legal tampering? Just get right into it. The reason why they allowed legal tampering is because they know that every single one, just like every single guy in the league is on some sort of steroid, they know that every single team in the league is going to start the negotiations under the table 24 hours before the green flag drops on negotiations. You know, when no one can be trusted, you know, I just think that you have a world where that won't exist, and you have a world of now media where being first is more important than being right, that you can't put this tiger back in the cage.
No, you can't. Again, and the combine, think about this, the timing of it also. Remember what the combine is. The combine used to be, so before we knew so much about these negotiations and understood front offices and had all everybody's name within every front office and understood who was talking to who, remember that the combine used to be interesting because players were working out for the draft. That's gone now. That part is almost irrelevant. Certain guys don't show up. Maybe we know something about meetings. Maybe we don't. Yes, somebody's still going to run the fastest time at the 40. That'll always be a little interesting to us. I appreciate what Rich Eisen does running it himself. That'll still be cool. But it used to be only about, oh, let's take a look at this guy. Let's see the measurables on this guy. It's not about that anymore. And maybe Hard Knocks changed that a little bit because we saw some of the conversations that are happening at the combine. But that's my point here. The combine is now understood as the greatest conference of NFL front offices getting together. Right. That's what it is.
Right. It's more of a convention.
Yes.
It's a job application.
Correct. It's about the front offices more than the players is what I'm saying.
And the combine has become such a sport unto itself. I don't know if you can put the results from the combine. I think these guys are so coached up through their interview process that I don't think you can put that. I think the combine had a place of importance for the NFL, and it is less than that now. It is more of a media event. It's as much of a TV show as it is an actual fact-finding mission for anyone who's going through it.
Conversations are happening. We can't, let's not be foolish. The most important people are in the same city. You know how many times a year all of them are together? I believe it's three. There's combine, there's owners meetings. And call me stupid if you'd like to. Is there now owners meetings and league meetings? I think they decided to call league meetings because the term owner was a little less acceptable. So I believe you basically got a league meeting and the combine. And that's the convention where all these people are talking, period. And that's why these deals come out right the way they do.
Is it the NBA who's like, let's call it governors because it's less owner? I don't know.
Sure.
Either way.
Sure.
It's just semantics in your office.
Yes. Yes.
Either way, what I do know is that it's great to have everyone here. Like and subscribe if you would, please. We're just underway here with Sammy. And we want to thank my man when it comes to being a sponsor. We got this guy right here.
Ike. Oh, yes.
Go ahead and get yourself a delicious sandwich from Ike's today. He's got his birthday coming up, which means you can save money at Ike's every single Thursday by using promo code Ike's B-Day. You get coming up on the 26th, which is his 48th birthday, a second sandwich coming off the board for just $4.80 when you buy that first sandwich at Ike's. So those are Thursday special pricings using promo code Ike's B-Day. So thanks very much to him. Thanks to Sammy for being here. Thanks to all of you. Hit like, subscribe, hit notify so you don't miss anything when we go live or post videos and all that good stuff. I don't say this very often during the off season or around combine time. I think John Lynch has absolutely made a great decision. I think John is, you know, returning Sometimes he does something really well. Sometimes he doesn't do things well. This is one where I think John Lynch made three great trades in his career. The first was Christian McCaffrey. The second was Trent Williams. And the third, I really believe, is going to be Osa Odigizua. It's a mouthful.
But Diggy's a great nickname, by the way, and that should be it. Diggy is absolutely, get Diggy with it. Yeah, let's go. Get
Diggy with it. Osa and Bosa, that feels like it's going to be
nice. Nice.
Turn into nice.
Yeah, we couldn't get the Bosa brothers together, right? But Osa and Bosa is pretty good. I like that.
Hey, you never know. That could still happen.
True, that is still an option now.
You got Bryce Huff just retiring out of nowhere at the age of 27. So the 49ers are looking for yet another edge rusher. Maybe Joey Bosa. I would think about bringing back Cleveland Farrell. Maybe Jadeveon Clowney is out there. Maybe this is where they're looking in the draft early on, although I think it'd be a mistake to look anywhere else other than offensive line, but that's not what we're talking about. I love the Odigizua move. It is a third rounder. There's no one you're getting in the third rounder who is as good as this guy is right now in the prime of his career. He is the ultimate defensive tackle pocket pusher. When Larry and I talked about all of the, we'll bring up 80 names when we're talking about what the Niners might be able to do. We never brought up this name because we didn't think that Dallas would be putting him on the market or walking away from him. This is a difference-making defensive lineman. He is the kind of guy who shows up on tape. If you're a nerd stat cruncher, you're going to love the fact that over the last five seasons, he is fourth in quarterback hits, 10th in pass rush win rate among all defensive tackles. Last season, he only had 3.5 sacks, but was first in defensive tackle quarterback hits. He was fifth in pass rush win rate. In other words, one of his best seasons was just his last season. He's a leader. He wore a Captain C for the Dallas Cowboys. And when I think about the young defensive tackles that the 49ers went out and drafted last year, and Alfred Collins and CJ West, this is a follow me, I know the way, I can teach you guys player. I love the move, Sammy. You don't hear me walk away from a lot of John Lynch transactions going, I love it, I love it, I love it. No notes. Love it.
Let's say two things here. Number one, John Lynch, if you've got three on the board from a trade standpoint, that's going to buy some time here, Damon. That's going to change a lot of opinions all over the city. For those that think John Lynch is a Tampa Bay legend, is a Denver Broncos legend, should have stayed at Fox doing TV, for all of that, we got to say the Niners are relevant every season. They're in the conversation. And in many of those seasons, they've been in the conversation for Super Bowl or Final Four. So that's impressive. And again, you're talking about, look, the trade for Christian McCaffrey, don't pretend like Christian McCaffrey's name was all over it and it was the Christian McCaffrey sweepstakes and we wondered where he was going to land. No. That story hit on a Thursday night and wiped all of us out. We all were considered, that was the Luka Anthony Davis trade that all of us thought was a freaking joke. Nobody saw that coming. So congratulations on that, which has changed this franchise forever. The fact that he's now got three with Diggy here for you, I'm going to say that buys him maybe an entire season of you letting him off the hook. Three is a pretty damn good deal. Now, number two on this, here's what Osa brings to the table. Last two seasons, 112 quarterback pressures. Now, let's talk about this. You and I have said it many times, as I think Myles Garrett was the MVP last season. He set the sacks record. Congratulations. He was the most impactful player in the MVP. That's it. I don't want to hear about record or anything else. Just talking about one guy who made an impact that many weeks. It was Myles Garrett. But we've also said sacks are no longer the statistic. Quarterbacks are affected in the pocket now in so many other ways, and there are metrics about hurries and pressures, etc. 112 quarterback pressures over the last two seasons. It's the third most in the league. He's behind two guys, Zach Allen and Chris Jones. Right. This guy makes an impact on the most important position in football. This is a wrecker. We talk about game wreckers. That's precisely what that statistic measures. Are you wrecking what the offense wanted to do? You're taking the quarterback off of his spot. That's the most important thing you can do every single snap, period.
that's why, to me, offensive line and the price of poker there has to go up, and the Niners need to reinvest in it, because everybody is now looking at this as, it's not about sacking the quarterback, it's about disturbing the quarterback, about hurrying up the process. It's about making that three-step drop a 2.5-step drop before you got to let it go. And I just think this is the right guy to do it. When you look at what he does against the run, very, very good there as well. It just, it is a move that feels so right that we never even considered it. Because why would Dallas come off this player who is on the cap for about 16.25 this year and then goes up to 20 in the next 2 years? But again, $20 million a year for a good NFL player is about to become the standard. Every position across the board, from D tackle to guard to everyone but long snapper, kicker, punter, will be eligible for a $20 million consideration.
And here's the irony. The Cowboys, who traded away Micah Parsons, had a stockpile at this position. Because of Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams, who were two players that they acquired after Micah was out the door, that has changed the math for Dallas. And now one of those three was going to be at least worth putting out there to see what you could get for that chip. And Dallas liked what they got. I also want to say this. We talked a lot about that incredible documentary about the Cowboys and how much the Niners played a part. When the Cowboys and the Niners make a trade, it tends to affect the history of the league. I mean, those are you, when those deals go down, they make a big difference. So keep your eye on this one, and maybe it'll be added to the list, right? Maybe this is Charles Haley. Maybe this is Deion Sanders. Like, this is just remember what that has done in the history of this league.
Right. When the saying is keeping up with the Joneses, we don't necessarily mean Jerry Jones, but the Joneses that the 49ers are trying to keep up with are the two best teams probably in the NFC, which are the two other teams in their division, the Seahawks and the Rams. We will get to the Arizona Cardinals moving on from Kyler Murray here in just a second. But real quick, we got a super from Too Much Souse, who says, after the Max Crosby Ravens Raiders trade collapse, should the NFL teams cap at one trade rescinded every three calendar years to prevent abuse? Great question, but I think the answer is no. And I'm just going to go back to the days when pitchers would pitch inside to guys who were standing all over the plate. This is something that the NHL with, you know, people talk about fighting being a brutal element of hockey, it actually prevents more damage than it ever causes. This is players policing themselves. And I really think that general managers are going to police themselves. And what the Ravens did is so left of center of standard operating procedure, Sammy. I don't think it's the kind of thing where you're going to need a rule to prevent it. Now, look, we might live in a world of loopholes. Like, I never thought we were going to need a rule that says if you're convicted of 37 felonies, you're not allowed to run for president. No one ever put that on the books because no one ever thought that would like come up. Like, I don't mean
we're in a world because of social media of documenting things, Damon. And frankly, you know, in the workplace, right? Document, did you email that? Oh God. Okay. Now it really matters. We're in a world of documentation. And if the league got as much conversation and documented conversation about a play that earned the Eagles 1 yard as many times as it did, think about this. Think about how upset people were about the tush push and how it was affecting people's outcomes in games potentially, right? Even though nobody was injured. So nothing was even actually documented about what that play was or wasn't specifically doing. This has now affected two franchises dramatically. And not only that, it's actually everyone in the division with Baltimore was probably thinking behind their backs, they gave up two first round picks. This is great news for us overall. They're probably thinking, you know what? Finally, Baltimore put their chips in and maybe this will cost them. They've largely been the cream of the crop in this division. They certainly vie for it every season. And now, at the very least, every team in that division is saying, wait a second. Then not to mention they go out and get Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati. Not that that wasn't an option, because Cincinnati with free agents has obviously been pretty interesting over the years. But think about how upset all of the other owners are. If the owners were that upset about the tush push, how upset are they about this? Because this, other than something that was on the field, this is about owners and front offices calling each other, Damon.
Right.
That's different.
The most pissed in it is John Spytek of the Raiders. He's furious about all this again, because how do you bring the player back? It's like you broke up with a girl, you're screaming at each other in a restaurant, and then, you know, you're like, we're not broken up. We're still together after all. It's a little weird. It's a little weird. And again, I don't think this would have gone as, it didn't go smoothly, but as smoothly as it have, if Max Crosby wasn't a consummate professional here. And I really do. I have to tip my cap to him for taking something that there's a degree of embarrassing here. There is. There's a degree of embarrassing here. And to hear that he is back in Henderson, Nevada, in the Raiders facility working out at 6 a.m. is just, that's a consummate pro, man. It really, really is.
And here's what's interesting. You said it.
About you. Yeah, go ahead.
Consummate pro. The video he put out when he thought he was leaving was very professional and upstanding. And no one would fault him for saying something about the Raiders that potentially was untoward. Nobody would have faulted him for saying, you know, I'm glad to be going to an organization as classy as Baltimore, which would sort of be like a side comment about the Raiders.
Right. Finally get to a winning, well-run organization. Maybe that's the tattoo I should have gotten.
There's a lot he could have said. And instead, again, high road, he says, thank you to the Raiders. Thank you to the fans. Thank you for this organization. And then doubles down on coming back to simply say, I am here. I'm ready to work. Let's go.
I don't know if I believe it or not. Did you see the tweet about the Ravens fan? It could be AI. I don't know, because it usually takes more than like 24 hours to get a full backplate tattoo.
Right.
But some Ravens fan went out and got a Max Crosby Ravens tattoo over all of his entire back, only to see that trade rescinded. If real, oops.
And I got to say this about most tattoos.
Oops. Yeah, exactly.
But we said one thing a week ago.
Think about the 38-year-old woman right now who got the tramp stamp when she was 22 and is just like, what did I
do? There's just a lot there. Just why and how. And yeah, in 10 years, or how much are we going to love that? So that's fine. But we said a week ago, we said, what's going to be the number one free agent that people are talking about? That was the question we asked each other. And quickly, we both agreed upon this. Max Crosby. The guy was not even a free agent. The guy we're going to be talking about is actually Max Crosby. Look how right we were. We never could have guessed. I mean, it would have been a big story if he was a Raven, but it wouldn't be this good. For him to be a Raider, a Raven, and a Raider again, that's what makes this so interesting. But we knew that he would affect the market, because think about the people this has affected now. It's, of course, affected the Raiders. It's, of course, affected the Ravens, but it's now affected the Bengals as well. This is so fascinating with so many layers.
Another one of the funniest things that I saw in terms of the meme world that came out around this Crosby situation was, here's a picture of the doctor who flunked Max Crosby, and it was Joe Burrow in a lab coat. Only to find out that now he's got to go against his teammate that he knows, former teammate that he knows even really well. So,
and Damon, before we move from this story, what's the best part of this going to be next season is tracking that, whether the Raiders have a great season or not, they've got a new quarterback, but the fact that we get to track Hendrickson and Max Crosby to truly know this, because you know who is going to look like a big winner out of all of this? And I like to say I and F are the two biggest letters we could ever throw out there in sports. But should Trey Hendrickson have a nice season, and he's been on a pretty steady pace. Now, granted, he's dealing with his own injury, but if he continues on the trend he's had over the last two seasons, if he has a great Trey Hendrickson level season,
18 sacks. Yeah.
Aren't the Ravens in the short term, aren't we going to say, pretty smart move?
They got it right. Unless Max Crosby has 22.
Correct. And that's the beauty of it. But again, worth two first round picks, right? Like, that's a lot. That's a big hill to climb. Two first round picks in the NFL, big hill to climb.
No doubt about it. What do you think of the, there's going to be two gas tanks that are going to be constantly monitored by 49ers fans. And it's going to be, how much gas does Mike Evans have left?
Yes.
And does Dre Greenlaw have any gas left? It's fun. I was talking about this again with Kruger on Wake Up this morning. Remove Dre Greenlaw's name from this transaction. You would look at it and go, huh? Why? Yeah. The guy has missed an awful lot of football. It didn't work out in Denver. He hasn't been healthy enough to really matter on a football field. $7.5 million for a big maybe, but it's Dre Greenlaw, who our best memories of are kicking ass. He was a fantastic player at his peak. How much does he have left? And then Mike Evans, once again, when you talk about future Hall of Famers, there's no doubt you got one, but how many injuries did you just sign when you signed Mike Evans? You know, it's funny. You look at the games missed. The hamstring, I guess, would be concerning on anyone. When you get older, things, ligaments start pulling easier. He also broke his collarbone. The number one pick in the draft, and anybody can break their collarbone in a football game. It's not like you don't belong here. You're injury prone. Collarbones are broken, and that sucks. That can happen for rookies. It's not a statement of age or wear and tear. So I don't know. I do know this for a fact. The minute Brock Purdy and Mike Evans step out on a practice field together, Brock Purdy has the best wide receiver he's ever played with. Practice number one.
Thank you for saying it. And I'll say something that Niner fans might want to see as blasphemous, but let me finish the whole statement. The name I'm going to throw out there is Jerry Rice. Oh my God, Sam, what are you talking about? Here's why. This is Jerry Rice on the Raiders. What Jerry Rice gave the Raiders towards the end of his career, by the way, wasn't nothing, Damon. Wasn't nothing.
Helped them reach a Super Bowl.
They reached a Super Bowl. They had the number one offense in football. What Jerry Rice and Tim Brown did on that offense, and hat tip to Tyrone Wheatley, he won't go down, and Napoleon Coffin and Rich Gannon. But what?
That's my greatest contribution to NFL lore. It really is.
I mean, Damon, cut that clip, everybody. All right. So that Damon cut that highlight. All right. But that
Boyle who cut that.
Right. I think wide Richie Miz, right? He blocked the kick. They blocked the kick. That was another great Raiders-Niners game. But that Jerry Rice, late in his career, at a time when you could have said, okay, maybe Jerry Rice gave everything to the Niners and there's nothing left. And maybe Mike Evans gave everything to Tampa and there's nothing left. But if you look at the trajectory and the collection of 1,000-yard seasons, Mike Evans, what you just said about him being the greatest receiver that Brock Purdy's going to throw the ball to, it's not outrageous at all. Mike Evans has been, if nothing else, consistent. And by the way, ask all the people out there who play fantasy football. Mike Evans is this fascinating fantasy football player where you think to yourself, but wasn't he injured? But is he really one of the greats? And then you go look at what he's done in the last 5 seasons. He is simply at that level consistently again and again.
In uninjured years, he's 85, 1,100 with 10 touchdowns.
And he's sharing with Chris Godwin, right? I mean, Mike Evans has shared with a lot of good dudes over the years. So This is really interesting. I like the Jerry Rice.
What is also interesting, too, is that his consistency remained between Brady, Mayfield, and those who even preceded
Jameis, right? Jameis, yeah, for sure. So this is an interesting one. Ryan Fitzpatrick, yeah.
He beats man-to-man. He plays well in the middle of the field, and those are two places that the Niners
Got my favorite attribute for a wide receiver. And maybe I'm crazy. I know Al Davis used to be in love with speed. At wide receiver, why is it so caught up for me? But size is this ultimate deal breaker for me at wide receiver. If you are bigger than the dude that is trying to get the ball from you at a high point, what greater advantage could you have?
Right.
And he's got it leaps and bounds over the guys that he's going up against. That's the guy in the end zone, in the red zone. Forget about speed. We're talking about tight spaces. That's a place that the Niners have not had, other than George Kittle, anything to that extent.
Since you brought up size, it feels like this is the perfect place to start talking about Kyler Murray. Yes. Kyler Murray going to the Vikings is either going to relaunch everybody's perception of Kyler Murray going forward, or will be the end of him as an NFL entity that matters. And I really don't know which way it's going to go. I think pairing him with Kevin O'Connell, who has proven himself a bit of a quarterback whisperer, could be a good thing. He certainly has a talented team around him. Justin Jefferson alone is probably the best wide receiver he has now ever played with. And I saw Kyler Murray on a list of, here are the guys who have this many passing yards and this many rushing yards in their career through this many seasons. And it's like, it's Josh Allen, it's Michael Vick, it's Lamar, it's some of the really good, it's Russell Wilson. It's guys who have had an awful lot of success, and Kyler Murray.
And so it becomes,
we'll find out.
And it's Kyler Murray because of what happened essentially last season with Arizona. I mean, the idea that they really chose Jacoby Brissett over Kyler Murray when Kyler Murray was good enough to be back on the field, that's just a stain against them until he proves us wrong in some other direction.
What that was Monty Austin Fort saying, we're turning the page no matter how well we're reading it. We're moving on because I'm setting the direction of this franchise and the direction is no longer him. He wasn't my pick. We're going in another direction.
And remember, he already did this for them. He already changed the direction of this franchise because the Josh Rosen stain, we talk about it with the Niners plenty. Okay. We talk about it often. When you make a mistake at that position, you better quickly decide to go off it. Don't continue to tell everyone that you're right when what's happening on the field is wrong. And the Josh Rosen thing became obvious to them. And the next season, they took a first-round quarterback in Kyler Murray. And guess what? You know what he did? He wiped out the memories of Josh Rosen quickly. Kyler Murray did that. The 2020 season, that team was in the playoffs. Remember that Cliff Kingsbury, they were the
favorite Josh Rosen memory, by the way.
Oh, my God. My favorite Josh. Until
he had a hot tub at UCLA in the dorm.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But ultimately, my favorite part of Josh Rosen, my favorite part personally was that he was going to be the next great Jewish quarterback in the league. Right. So I loved that idea.
We have a small pamphlet.
Right. But the conversations about Darnold or Rosen is my favorite part, especially because Darnold is the reigning Super Bowl winning quarterback. So the fact that that conversation once was so close, right, who would get drafted first, the fact that they were in Southern California playing for UCLA and USC and which one would be better and same draft, all of that was so fascinating. And now there was still an idea that Sam Darnold and Rosen, neither one of them are great, right? There was that conversation for a long time. But Sam Darnold, Minnesota, changed all of that. And now Sam Darnold, Seattle, the one guy, I mean, I thought we might even want to watch the Super Bowl with Josh Rosen. I'd be fascinated to hear Josh Rosen's opinion of Sam Darnold now. I mean, that's it. So that's my favorite. My favorite fantasy about Josh Rosen is really talking to him about the league now and all the guys that he was right there with. Baker. I mean, that draft again. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen.
First round. We talk about still available and out there, what name do you think goes next? Obviously, there was some desire on the 49ers to maybe see if Mac Jones had a market. Mac Jones's game of musical chairs is running out of chairs for any eventual trade. Arizona and Pittsburgh are the only two teams in football without a already presumed starting quarterback. So I don't know if he is on another team next year. I know that the 49ers would like to acquire some more draft capital, but I don't think that Mac Jones is the way for them to do it anymore because the word astronomical was attached to their asking price. I don't know if you're going through astronomical machinations to get yourself into the Mac Jones market. Certainly not the Steelers, who have never been particularly aggressive when it comes to trading for anybody. And Arizona is maybe one team that, you know, because it's in your division, you don't want to necessarily deal with. So it feels like there's just one spot left for Mac.
So Mac Jones, really interesting. I'd love to see him back with the Niners. I just don't know how you don't want to hold on to this guy. The idea that you've got Brock Purdy and he could miss games. When Mac Jones gave you, for what you and I like to call, the magic five games that your backup quarterback should be good for, if your quarterback can be over 500 for the five games that he could end up playing for you each season, that's a massive win. Yep. Mac Jones is part of the quarterback room that worked out very well for the 49ers last season. I like that. I like knowing that a guy understands the system, plays it well, did well for us, and frankly, played over his head. Mac Jones had some of his best statistics as a 49er. Forget about what he even did in New England as a starter. Mac Jones should want to stay in San Francisco also. This, to me, makes sense for a ton of reasons. I love this for both parties with Mac Jones. If you're asking me for free agents out there that I think are really interesting right now, one guy down the list, if you go through the top people, there's always the sexy pick and certain positions are going to get more conversation than others. I'm going to scroll past Aaron Rodgers and I'm going to go to a name that I think made a lot of sense for a Super Bowl champion not so long ago. And he's in a similar situation again, where you could probably get him at a good price. Mekhi Becton is a guy on the offensive line who was a disaster with the Jets, was an absolute home run for the Eagles and helped make the greatest rushing season of all time for Saquon Barkley. Then gets a big contract, goes to the Chargers. It doesn't work out at all.
But that offensive line absolutely collapsed all around him at the same time. He did nothing to make it better.
Right. And so is Mekhi Becton the kind of guy that you can say, all right, at a much lower rate, in the right situation, can be a difference maker? Taking a flyer on a guy that you won't have to pay as much for seems like a good idea at a position that you just said might be the most important in football, protecting your quarterback.
You know who could use a left guard? The San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
We got Vegan Yosh saying keeping Mac would add a little peace of mind given injuries. Absolutely. It look, you know it because you've paid your homeowner's insurance, you paid your car insurance, and insurance always feels like thrown away money. Don't even need it right up until you need it. We don't need house insurance until your home burns down. And then you're like, we got fire covering that policy, right? Right. Okay. Yeah. Good. The 49ers also burnt down last year without the Mac Jones insurance policy. He was Geico for them.
He was totally that. And what team out there is really saying, okay, Mac Jones is going to change the fortune of our franchise. He's going to be the starting quarterback definitively here. And we're ready to pay him a boatload of money. That's likely not happening. If Mac Jones is in a world of being a backup and having an opportunity to play, how could he say that he wasn't in the perfect situation and could stay right there?
I love football. It
absolutely is. And the other guy on the free agent list that I just want to at least talk about for 10 seconds, Juwan Jennings. Interesting. Had a real opportunity this season, and I would say largely blew it. If you look at it just wasn't on the field enough. When he was there, and certainly towards the end of the season, he made a massive difference. Is there a team out there that can consider him that option? Is he WR2 for somebody that really could make a difference?
And if his market continues to be non-existent, at what point do the 49ers like knock on the door and say, hey, wait a minute, things haven't worked out in your offseason the way you hoped it would. You know us. We know you. Is there something?
And you know us now. And you know us now with Mike Evans. So you know us now in a world where you're clearly not, like, you were vying for WR1 in last offseason. And that's not the case now. So are you happy to be solidified with where you are, not in a questionable Godwin situation or a maybe Debo Samuel way, but in a Mike Evans? Everybody and every receiver in the league knows what Mike Evans is. Now, how do you want to listen to that guy hang out and really get your shit together?
Again, I love football. Sammy loves football. I love talking football with Sammy, but whenever he comes on in, there's always a few other things that we have to get to. And knowing your schedule, Sam, now is the time.
Do it.
I will say, the Golden State Warriors are going in the absolute wrong direction, and Steph Curry's knee is not getting better. I think it is time for them to admit their situation, shut him down, shut down Draymond Green, shut down Porzingis before he, dies somehow again. And start gunning towards what next year might look like. Because even if the Warriors are to make a token playoff appearance and Curry gets them a win or two that gets them in at the end, they're going nowhere fast. And that is pretty evident. I think it's time for the Warriors to consider that. But that's really just the opening to the NBA conversation I had with you. You are in Los Angeles, where obviously Kobe still remains king. What is LA thinking of the single worst 83-point game in the history of basketball?
I really went both ways in my mind with this. And then I sat last night at the Kobe and Gigi statue. So not the Kobe statue outside of crypto, but the Kobe and Gigi. And I decided, all right, I'm going to take inventory of kind of who comes up here, who takes photos with this, like, what, it's a heavy place to sit. It really is. It's magnificent. It is. It's a beautiful sculpture.
It's the kind of statue that you look at and it makes you feel sad.
It's an emotional statue. And I'm watching families walk over there, and then I'm watching grown men, some with sons or daughters and some without. Absolutely drove home one point with me. And LeBron James is facing the same thing. Kobe Bryant, you cannot make a comparison to Kobe Bryant anymore. You just cannot. It's more sacred than Michael Jordan, simply because he's not with us. Kobe Bryant in the gone too soon category, which of course he is, solidifies in stone, in precious metal, anything that he did. LeBron winning a championship, I think in the end, was more disappointing for Lakers fans because they wanted to say that no one else could do it because Kobe was the last to have done it. So in so many ways, LeBron could never crack it. It wasn't about Jordan anymore. It was finally about somebody else. LeBron was now, it was a category of being LeBron or Kobe. And that's what Laker fans couldn't get past. And that's why they don't want to fall in love with LeBron, because it somehow means throwing away the love that they have for Kobe. That's what they cannot reconcile. They don't want to break up with Kobe. Nobody wants to throw away the photos of what Kobe did and replace them with new photographs.
Let me just hop in here. LeBron is at least worthy of a conversation with a memory of Kobe Bryant. Kobe and Jordan are two guys that you can talk about in the same conversation, and you're not stepping on the toes of greatness because everybody's got great toes there. Bam Adebayo is a 16-point-per-game career average who absolutely broke Kobe's 81-point threshold with a full-on choice of assist by NBA officials. They put him on the line 43 times, which is absurd for a guy who will, you know, has never shot more than, I think, 4.5 free throws in any season he's ever played per game. If Steph Curry, on a night he was cooking, ever got 43 free throws as well, he would break Wilt's 100-point record. That could happen. And it is clear now that anytime a group of officials want to put that record in play, they can, because they did. And Eric Spoelstra, you know how I know, and you and I are both big subscribers to, you can't take the best night away from somebody when you're, no, in this case, I am, because Eric Spoelstra yesterday came out and said, "I apologize for nothing." Well, you don't say that unless you know that there's a little guilt involved there. I mean, Bam Adebayo does not belong in the conversation of greatest singular games we've ever seen. And when you go and dissect that box score, it's staring you in the face. This guy was brought to 83 more than he got to 83.
And the collection of games around it will never stack up. So let's speak out of two sides of our mouth right now, only because we've got both sides to speak from. Number one, Bam Adebayo, congratulations. You definitively did this. It's in the record books. I'm not taking away great feats by anybody. It happened. You got to put yourself in position to even be close to this. And you absolutely were. So congratulations. That has certainly happened. However, here's what happens when you're in a sentence with somebody. Now you can immediately be torn down by who else is in the sentence with you. And I told you this point when Alex Ovechkin broke the record of Wayne Gretzky. It forces a conversation that nobody's actually having. Nobody's having a conversation about whether Alex Ovechkin is better than Wayne Gretzky. But now the sentence reads, Alex Ovechkin passes Wayne Gretzky. And then I dove deep into the numbers with you and I said, by the way, this isn't a conversation. It actually wasn't even a conversation with Sidney Crosby. It's not a conversation with Alex Ovechkin. And the only guy that's even worth discussing this potentially is Connor McDavid. And he's got to do it 10 more times. But he's the only guy. So don't do it. Put a period in the middle of those two things before you put them in the same sentence. Bam Adebayo and Kobe Bryant, same thing. If Bam Adebayo breaks 81 points by Reggie Miller, this is not a conversation. The fact that the sentence has these two guys together and one is technically for the moment better than the other, it forces emotion. And to my point earlier, the other guy is no longer with us way too soon. It's just raw. It's just unfortunate. It's almost as if the league should have wanted Bam to get 80 and not 82. Keep him just one under.
It's like when Radnich would talk about Bonds. His mistake was not stopping at 68.
Exactly. If you mess with history, if you mess with nostalgia for people, that's where it gets dangerous and that's where it gets emotional. And Bam Adebayo, congratulations for all that you've done and the money that you've stacked up in this league. But yes, there right. is no conversation about greatest. It's an amazing feat. It will be to be in that position. Sure, the opponent's garbage, but you absolutely did something that only one other guy's ever done.
By the way, Vegan Yosh coming in again, drafting O-line is more important than trading Mac. Drafting O-line and getting Trent Williams back in the room is more important than trading Mac. Period. End of story. I agree with you there. And Vegan Yosh comes in one more time. Bam's 83 is why I hate Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who, by the way, just passed Wilt Chamberlain for the most consecutive 20-point games, ever, I guess, ever played.
An MVP and a champion for a team that we thought couldn't do it. Like, I'm going to give SGA his love there.
Look at it this way. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes down in NBA history for a lot of reasons. Bam Adebayo will be remembered for one thing, and it won't be a fuzzy memory. It won't be a warm, like, ooh, that was so great that happened. Because I think it's very honest to say no one ever gave a shit about Bam Adebayo or his career until this moment, period.
No, and he's got a very significant girlfriend also, and I didn't even know that until just two nights ago.
Significant girlfriend. Who is
she? He's a very, very famous WNBA player who's also setting records herself. I think he's with AJ Wilson, right?
Asia Wilson?
Yes. He was. Yes.
There you go.
So that's what's really, you know, you learn something.
She was named after the Steely Dan album.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. So I love that. It's a great piece of history as well.
Speaking of pieces of history, we're about to hop into Today in History, but I got to ask you, since we got the Samboni right here, the Sharks got a really big win in Boston. It is hard to win in Boston unless you're wearing a Bruins uniform. They are on a fork in the road trip that either is going to take them into or out of that postseason wildcard conversation. Sam, when the dust settles on this hockey season, are the Sharks in or out of the postseason? What do you think?
So I want, and I will admit, I am working with the Kings. I'm talking after every single Kings game on Kings Talk. What I want more than anything is for the Kings and the Sharks to be in the playoffs. I think Macklin Celebrini is someone great that everyone should be able to watch. And I think Artemi Panarin, not as a Ranger, but as a King, would be really cool for people to understand it from that and a little engine that could coming from behind as an 8 or a 7 seed. When he was with the Rangers, they were pretty stacked up there and they did go to the Eastern Conference Final. But I love the story where LA got him and then he turns a season that wasn't going anywhere into a playoff season. So both of those guys being in there to make plays, I'd love to see, and Kopitar's final season, of course, but looks like that is unlikely because where they are in the standings, it kind of looks like one of the two is going to make it. The Sharks certainly put their stamp on we're going to be that team, not Seattle and not the Kings and maybe not Nashville. I guess I can say this. I'll definitively tell you right now, the Sharks or the Kings are going to be in. And the Sharks hold the tiebreaker over the Kings right now. And so that's pretty important. I was at a game at Crypto where Macklin absolutely late in the third period tied the game and then assisted on the game-winning goal in overtime. And that could be the ultimate difference. That one-point swing right there could be it. I sort of love it. And Macklin Celebrini is special enough that him being in the playoffs is a spectacular story. And had Canada won gold... It would be. And had Canada won gold over USA, the stories to come out of that would have been, again, Connor McDavid dominating a competition yet again, and Macklin Celebrini, the guy right behind McDavid and scoring in that tournament was Celebrini, and that would have been his coming out party instead of the Hughes and Austin Matthews and everything else that came out of it.
Here's what I do know. If you are a Kings fan or a Sharks fan, the one thing that unites you is you're rooting against Utah and Seattle. Correct. Every single night that they're playing. A couple more here. This is Vegan Yosh again coming in. Very generous with the supers as always. Thank you very much, Vegan. 12 days until Giants opening day. F the Doyers. Yeah, dude. 12 days until I'm a 51-year-old man.
Congratulations,
opening dude. Day. Yeah, thank you. Let's see if I make it. It's, you know, nothing's guaranteed. Also, what do we got here? Too much sauce. California be afraid of Iran? No, I really don't think so. I hope not, for sure. Thank you for keeping the questions nice and light there, too much sauce. We're not talking
that was too much sauce.
Yeah, that was way too much sauce. Here's what I do know. Release the Epstein files. That's what I do know.
Great documentary.
Happy birthday to William H. Macy, one of the great actors of our generation. We're going to talk about another one here, but William H. Macy.
Please go back. Everyone, please go back. Don't watch the series, but watch the original movie. You can watch the series if you want, but Fargo.
Oh, he's incredible in Fargo. William H. Macy, 76 years old. Dana Delaney, you want to talk about a really old, good TV show? Remember China Beach?
course.
Yeah, China Beach. Dana Delaney, that was her vehicle, man. She's 70. The rapper Common today is 54. She just had herself a hell of a Winter Olympics. Michaela Schifrin turned 31 years old today. And another rapper, Jack Harlow, 28 years old. So there you go. Those are your birthdays today. Today in 1639, it was called New College. And after clergyman John Harvard, they decided to change its name and it became Harvard College today in 1693. Today in 1852, the very first and popular widespread image of Uncle Sam. Top hat. Uncle Sam.
I love it too. I mean, I love that. And again, I've been called Uncle Sam many times and I love it.
Happy birthday to Uncle Sam and Samboni all at the same time. Today in 1925, the Tennessee legislature passed a bill that banned teaching Charles Darwin's theory of evolution in public schools. And this became highly publicized in the Skokes monkey trial. If you are a fan of legal history, the Skokes monkey trial is one of the separation of church and state and public schools. It was a big deal. It's a big deal. So enjoy your Skokes monkey trial memories, everybody. 1925. Today in 1930, the discovery of Pluto was officially announced because of the Lowell Observatory. And Pluto, of course, like a bad English Premier League team, was relegated.
Relegated. This was big news and still is big news in my house. And I know for you, I think Jack and Ozzy were both into the solar system, Damon. And Levi is just fascinated. The dwarf planet designation for Pluto is worthy of conversation in my house.
First of all, it should be called Little Person Planet.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, what are we doing here? Come on. It's not even fair to Pluto.
So you ever feel like, man, that song's been around my entire life? In this case, it kind of has. The number one song in America in 1976, which means today this song turns 50 years old. December 1963. Oh, what a night.
Thank you for that December one.
It's equal parts earworm, fantastic, and terrible all at the same time.
That's fine, but it's great. And I believe it's on the Boogie Nights soundtrack as well. And so therefore it will always be solidified and stamped as fantastic.
There you go. Today in 1978, we lost a guy who put together in a short sample size the measurable greatest acting career of all time. And what's ironic is the only one that you could maybe hold against it would have been his at the time girlfriend, Meryl Streep. John Caziel today passed away at the age of 42. Every movie that he was in was nominated for an Academy Award. Every single movie that he was in five movies. Sam, can you name three or four of them?
So let's see. So I'm going to go with
those who do not know. I'm going to give it away right here.
Just give it to me right now. But I mean,
he is Fredo in The Godfather. So obviously you have Godfather 1 and 2. He was also in The Deer Hunter, which is a freaking monster.
Just a monster.
You talk about sucking the fun out of the room. But intense as hell. He was in Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino, which is a fantastic movie. And he's also in the lesser known of the group, The Conversation, which was a Francis Ford Coppola movie that got nominated for best movie, motion picture as well. The guy was in five movies, all five nominated for best picture. A couple of them won it all.
And he also looked, by the way, I just want to say this for him, but a nod to my uncle Joel, who looks so much like him that it's terrifying. That I always did, like from The Godfather. Yes. My uncle Joel, it just looks precisely like him and the character specifically in The Godfather. It's amazing.
In a move that changed music, maybe for the better, for the worse, depends on how you look at it. We don't do a lot of music stuff, but we did Oh What a Night. So I'll tell you that today in 1999, the number one song in America was Cher's Believe, which I believe is the first song to ever achieve the status where the star of the song was auto-tune. She is the first recording artist to hit number one with a song using auto-tune. Do you believe
The reverberation was ridiculous. When I heard it, I danced quite a lot to that song in Florence at the time. It came out before it hit the States. I was in Florence in 99 and heard that song. I actually, because I heard it at clubs, Damon, I thought it was a voice track. I didn't know it was Cher for months. I just thought it was a voice track within an electronic song that I liked. And yet,
you know what's funny too about the whole thing? But like, you know, you're somewhere and a song comes on and you're like, I dig this song. And then for some reason, something ruins it. So the biggest song. So I was on spring break in college when the Macarena came out.
Yes.
And I was in and that thing got the club jumping. Roll. And that was before the stupid dance ever. Once the stupid dance in every single, you know, mom's class and you know, your mom jeans are doing Macarena and everything. And that's what ruined the Macarena. Before it had the stupid dance attached to it and you were allowed to dance however you wanted, that song was a little bit of a banger. It really was.
You're so right. And I'm happy Pharrell's. I'm happy is the same thing. When I see people on Good Morning America doing dances to songs together, and it just, it's out for me. It's completely out. It just is ripped off of my list forever.
That's why I can't do TikTok.
It's tough.
I don't care about your stupid dances. Okay, let's see. Today in 2012, Encyclopedia Britannica decided, hey, let's wrap this up. We're not doing this anymore. Not publishing anymore. The last time they published the Encyclopedia Britannica was today in 2012. It was the oldest and longest continually published English language general print encyclopedia. And now you're going to have to go online to learn your everything. Let's see. Today in 2013, his name was Jorge Mario Bergoglio. Today, you know him better as Francis the First. He succeeded Benedict. We love a new pope. We love a new pope because we love ceremony and we love watching the Sistine Chapel's freaking chimney. What color's the smoke? Are we popping black smoke or white smoke today? The reason why we love the pope is because of the chimney.
It's absolutely true. And the fact that he's a White Sox fan, I know, is conflicted for you as well. So that's the new pope, that is.
What was embarrassing is that the North Side tried to claim him only to see that, like, his brothers came out and were like,
nah,
that's like putting ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago. No way. One last F the Doyers. Just throwing it out there. We also got Danny Golding TV, who's like, I have been to the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff. So there you go. That's where Pluto was found. Yep. And that's where Pluto got unfound, I guess.
Demoted. Yeah.
Finally, today, you want to talk about, if you got nothing to do and you want a great 3 minutes, go and watch Marvelous Marvin Hagler and oh man, was it Tommy Hearns? Hearns and Hagler. Marvin Hagler today died at the age of 66. Mm. This was one of the most badass guys to ever climb into a boxing ring. Watch Hagler Hearns for the greatest round of boxing I think the sport has ever given us.
It's still referenced. I mean,
the ring dropping bombs like it's a Rocky movie.
It's really what everything is referenced to in a boxing match now. I mean, the UFC frankly gives us more of it in regards to people getting destroyed while you're watching the fight. I still think the UFC gives you more than boxing does these days, but forever boxing will live on the idea that a fight can be that. And it happens so infrequently now because the top boxers are now frankly more defensive overall, but what it used to be is that. I think Mike Tyson is even who he is because of that fight.
It's, you know, how often do you say, what are the three best minutes maybe we've ever seen in sports? That's in the conversation.
It is.
That is in the conversation, and I think it's in the top 10 for sure. Sammy, what do you got coming up this weekend? We are starting both boys in T-ball.
T-ball starts
Sunday morning.
That's a very big one. I wanted to make this debate with you. Seinfeld made it famous, but the fact that someone would ask me to help them move now that I'm nearing 48, 49, 50 years old.
Do you own a pickup truck?
Asking somebody. I do now own a pickup truck, which is amazing in and of itself.
What happened?
But the idea that I would be lifting something is just incredible. And again, so what, it's like, what threshold of friend, and this of course is my brother who asked, so I really have no, I, so I'll be doing that. The Kings also play a back-to-back, an important one.
Oh, but it's your brother.
Exactly, it's, but still.
You pulled into it. It was
correct. That's it. There's almost anyone that you could say no to easily, and then you're stuck in this situation where you're asking yourself, at what point, what age do I need to be where I'm not in that conversation?
How about this? For me, it's now. I ain't helping anybody move. No, the answer is good luck.
Am I better than anyone else in the world at doing this? No. Like there's things I am good at in the world. That's not on my list.
This ain't one of them.
No.
Well, let's wrap up with a fun little note that today, in 2020, COVID-19 declared a national emergency under the National Emergencies Act. Oh yeah. Good times. Thank you very much for that fun moment of life. But I guess it is a part of history. We thank everyone. And Sammy, I actually got this now as on the board. If you want to talk about like, hey, you know, Damon, you've been making a couple appearances on KNBR. Who says you can't go home? Well, let's wrap up today's show with this. Thank you very much. Like and subscribe to both the channels if you would, please. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And